Welcome to the Trumpet of Truth, a broadcast ministry of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church. The Trumpet of Truth radio broadcast can be heard Sunday mornings at 9 and Sunday evenings at 5 on WASW 91.9 FM, American Family Radio. Now, with the message, the pastor of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, Brother Bill Mullis.
Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Jonah. I would like to read from Jonah chapter 2. Please follow in your Bibles. Jonah chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. The Word of God says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly." Well, let me pause right here. You remember how Jonah had been thrown out of the ship, and the whale, the Word of God tells us it was a whale, and the Word of God also calls it a fish prepared by God. So it calls both a whale, it's called a fish, that was prepared by God. Right here in Jonah chapter 2, he's in the whale's belly, and he's reflecting back here as he begins to pray. I want you to understand, you don't normally think of the whale's belly as being the safe place. But compared to where he had just been, the whale's belly was a safe place. When Jonah said, "From the belly of hell cried I," it wasn't while he was in the fish's belly. It was when he was down in the bottom of the sea before the whale swallowed him. You follow that carefully as we look now at Jonah chapter 2. The Word of God says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said," now here he is in the fish's belly. This is his prayer that he prayed while he was in the fish's belly. "I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me." You see, he's talking about something that's just gone on, something in the past. "I cried," past tense, "by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice, for thou hadst cast me into the deep." Where had God cast him? God had cast him into the deep. "In the midst of the seas and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. The waters compassed me about even to the soul. The depth closed round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head." Do you see where he was? He was in a horrible condition in the bottom of the sea. Verse 6, he says, "I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God." Thou hast brought up my life. Where was he? He was in the whale's belly. He was in the fish's belly. He says, "God, you have delivered me from the belly of hell." He was in the belly of the whale, but he had been in the belly of hell. The whale was a deliverance for Jonah. The whale was much for Jonah like the ark was for Noah, except there's a big contrast there, because Noah had done right and God instructed him to build the ark. Now, Jonah did what was right when he was down in the belly of hell. You know what he did right when he was down in the belly of hell? He cried unto the Lord. I want you to notice the wording in verse 4, and let me read verse 7 and 6 and 7, and then we'll come back to verse 4. Verse 6 says, "I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple." Now, go back to verse 4. He says, "Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again unto thy holy temple." And brethren, the main words that are on my heart this morning is where Jonah said, while he was down in the sea, he said, "I will look again unto thine holy temple. I will look again toward thy holy temple. I will look again." I want you to think about those words, "I will look again." Do you ever look again? Sometimes I lose my keys, and I'll go through the house, and I'll go through the house again, and I look again, and I lose my glasses, and I can't find them, and I look again, and I look again, and eventually, sometimes I find them, but usually, I have to call on my wife to help me find my keys or my glasses. But sometimes I find them. When there's something that you really need, when there's something that you've lost that's very valuable, and at this time in Jonah's life, Jonah had lost something very valuable. He had lost his fellowship with God. God had cast him down into the deep. And while he was down in the deep, you know what he did? He looked again toward the holy temple. He looked. How many times do you look again? Don't we all? And Jonah had looked toward the holy temple many other times in his life. Jonah had been close to God many times in his life. But at this time, he had been, by God, cast out into the deep. And he looked again toward the holy temple. I want to encourage everybody here that whenever you're like Jonah and you've disobeyed God and you've gone in the wrong direction, I want you to know that God would have you to do exactly what Jonah did. God would have you to look again toward the holy temple. God is different than we are. God is much more merciful and gracious than anybody in this building. There's nobody here that even compares to being as merciful and gracious as God is. And when you find yourself in the belly of hell, when you have gone away from God, when you have disobeyed God, and you are cast away from His presence, you remember how the Apostle Paul was concerned that he himself could become a castaway. Well, brethren, there are times that God casts us out of His sight in the sense that He's talking about here. And when we are cast away, when we have done that brings shame and reproach on the cause of Christ, and we are cast away, I want you to remember what you better do when you're cast away. You better look again unto God's holy temple. You better do what David said in Psalm 121 when he said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. You know how often I need to look again? I need to look again every day. Every day of my life, when I wake up, I need to look again. I'm not talking about right now because of disobedience. I'm talking about it's just that sometimes I take my eyes off of God and I need to look again. I need to look every day when I wake up. I need to look unto the holy temple of the Lord. I need to lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help, because I need God's help every day of my life. So I need to look again and look again and look again. I need to continuously, eventually, I hope that before I die, I hope that I will be looking unto Him every day so that I don't have to take my eyes off of Him and look back and look again and look again. I hope that I will eventually reach a point that I am so close to God that I'm looking unto Him every day and I'm looking at Him and I'm beholding His face all the time and I can see the glory of God every day. But right now in my life, I take my eyes off Him sometimes and I have to look again. And then there are other times in my life that I have been cast out of His sight and He is in the process of chastening me. Because the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, He what? He chasteneth. And that's what God was doing to Jonah. It's not that God didn't love Jonah here. It's because God loved Jonah and Jonah disobeyed Him that God chastened him and chastened him severely. And Jonah knew what to do when God was chastening him. He looked again. He looked again toward the holy temple. So I want to encourage everybody here, if you're away from God, if you've strayed away from God, if in any area of your life you're not as close to God as you need to be, I want to encourage you, look again toward the holy temple. That's what Jonah did. And he was in the belly of hell and God lifted him up and gave him a deliverance, didn't he? That's what the whale was a deliverance. Now, you might not think that way, but you read it carefully and I think you'll see the whale was a deliverance. God gave him a greater deliverance and the whale eventually vomited him up on dry ground. That was a wonderful experience. And then he went to Nineveh and he preached to the people at Nineveh. And when he preached to them, they repented. And he should have been so happy, but he wasn't. And he got away from God again. You know, I would have thought Jonah, after being in the belly of hell and God saving him, I would have thought, you know, boy, Jonah's going to walk the straight and narrow path the rest of his life. No, it wasn't. 4 days later, little Jonah was messing up again. Same thing's true in mine and your life. Sometimes we're in the belly of hell and we cry. And we look again unto the toward the temple and we see the Lord high and lifted up, like Isaiah describes in Isaiah chapter 6. I see the Lord high and lifted up, and I'm so happy that God has blessed me again to see the beauty of the Lord in His holy temple. And I think, I'll never stray again, Lord. How many of you have ever thought those words or said those words, Lord, I've learned my lesson and I won't ever stray again? There's one song that I always really appreciate, and that is, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. I forget to keep my eyes on Jesus sometimes. The world begins to allure me, and I begin to take my eyes off of the Lord. And then when I begin to realize what's happened, I better do what? What are the two words that we're looking at this morning? I better look again. I better turn my eyes again and look in the direction that I need to look every day of my life. Every day, all day. You need to look again and again and again. Look to the Lord. Isaiah 55, listen please to verses 6 and 7. The Word of God says, seek ye the Lord. Now what do I do when I lose my keys? What do I do when I lose my glasses? What do? I seek them. I seek them. I look for them. And that's what the Word of God is saying here. Seek the Lord. Now, brethren, you know who first found you? You know who found you first? God found you. You know who loved you first? We love the Lord because He what? He first loved us. So don't get the cart before the horse. Understand the only reason you care about God, the only reason you love God, the only reason you see God, the only reason you know God is because God has shown Himself to you. God's reached down and just lifted you up out of that miry clay. You were dead in trespasses. You weren't sick, and God held His hand out. You were dead in trespasses and sins, and God reached down and quickened you and made you alive and put His Spirit in you. And then you began to know the Lord. And then God said, now follow me. And for a while you followed Him and you felt so close to Him and felt so good. And then what happens? Well, He says, go do this or go do this. Just like He told Jonah, arise and what? Go to Nineveh. And he did half what God told him. He arose and what? Fled to Tarshish. He went in the wrong direction. You ever gone in the wrong direction? Every time you go in the wrong direction, you know what you need to do? Look again. Get your eyes back where they need to be. The only reason that David messed up so much that night in his life was because he looked in the wrong direction. The only reason that Adam and Eve messed up so much in the Garden of Eden was because they looked in the wrong direction. The woman saw, Genesis 3:6, and the woman saw. And all through the Word of God, we find the Word of God is emphasizing the importance of what I'm looking at. And I need to look again toward the holy temple to behold the Lord, the beauty of the Lord. Isaiah 55, verse 6, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Now, what is that telling me? That tells me that I can stop seeking the Lord and not seek the Lord until finally it's too late to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Here, now listen, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Now you know you cannot return unto the Lord till you first look again unto the Lord. When you get away from God, you've got to first look in the right direction. Have you ever tried to go somewhere without looking in that direction first? You know what will happen when you try to go somewhere without looking in that direction? You can't seek the Lord. You can't return to the Lord unless you're looking again unto the Lord. Look to the Lord. Look again to the Lord. Return unto the Lord. The rest of this verse says, let him return unto the Lord, and he will, God will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Is that what God did when Jonah looked again toward the holy temple? What did God do? God had mercy upon him. God was gracious. And you and I, as the people of God, we need to look again, so that we can get out of the mess we're in. And there's no way for you to get out of the mess unless God delivers you from the mess that you're in. You can't get out of depression. You can't get out of any problem that you're having without God helping you to get out. And sometimes God doesn't just help you. Sometimes God just reaches down and picks you up and sets you on solid ground. the prodigal son. Turn in your Bibles to Luke 15. You know what the prodigal son did after he'd gone out? You know what he first did? He looked where he shouldn't have been looking. He began to look out there in the world and see all the pleasures of the world. He saw all those pleasures and he began to look in the wrong direction. And he said to his father, "Give me my inheritance." And he took that inheritance and he began to waste. The scripture says he wasted his father's goods. He wasted his father's goods in riotous living. Have you ever wasted anything God's given to you? Have you ever wasted? And remember now, remember, your life doesn't even belong to you. You're bought with a price. Somebody paid for you. God did. And he paid a price. Sometimes when I call somebody that's a little discouraged and despondent, I say, "Do you realize how precious you are?" And they'll say, "I don't think I'm precious." I say, "Well, you're precious because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you. That's what makes every one of you precious in the sight of the Lord. You were bought with a price. He loves you with an everlasting love. He will chasten you. He will put you in the belly of hell. But when you look again, when you look again toward his holy temple, if he hasn't already cut you off, he'll begin to lift you up. So I want to encourage everybody here today, more than you've ever done before, I want you to look again toward the Lord. That prodigal son, when he began to look out there, and he went out there, and he began to waste his father's goods in riotous living, he went down, down, down. And finally, he was down to the point that he would prefer, he would have eaten the husk that the hogs were eating. He was living like a wild animal down there. He had lost all his friends. He had lost everything. And then he did what? What's the two words that he did? Okay, very good, Brother Neil. The two words that are used in this chapter is, he came to himself. That's the two words. He came to himself. And you know what he did when he came to himself? He did two more words. He what? He looked again. He looked toward his father's house. And he began to run towards his father's house. And as he began to go back to his father's house, he was looking again toward that special place where he had fellowship with his father. He had all the blessings of the house of God. And he returned unto the Lord, just like Isaiah 55, 6 and 7 says, "Return unto the Lord, for he is gracious and merciful, and he will abundantly pardon." Did you know you need abundant pardon from the Lord? Abundant pardon. You want that abundant pardon? Look again toward his holy temple. The prodigal son looked again to his father's house and went running back and said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven." I want you to understand, the sin wasn't against the father. The sin was against heaven. "I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." Was he stating truth? Absolutely. Did you know there's not a person in this building that in and of yourself is worthy to be a child of God? You're a child of God because of what God has done for you. You're not worthy. You need to see how unworthy you are. And you know what you'll do when you see how worthy you are? You know what you'll do when you get in that dark, dark area and see how filthy and ugly you are? You'll look up. You'll look again to the only one that can cleanse you. You'll look again to the one who gave you so much and you wasted it. And you'll say, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Let me be a servant in your house." And the father will greet you and he'll say to the family of God, "Come, rejoice with me. My son has come home. My son who looked away has now looked again." Have you ever looked away from the Father's house? You ever gone away from the Father's house? I want to encourage you to look again unto the Father's house. Go with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14 very quickly. Look in your Bibles at Matthew chapter 14. The Apostle Peter saw Jesus out walking on the water. And then Peter wanted to get out there and walk with Jesus on the water. Very commendable. Nobody else had that much faith. A lot of faith. However, there was a problem he had, because as he looked at Jesus and saw Jesus on the water, the scripture says in Matthew 14, you can read all of this in Matthew 14, 25 through 31, but for the sake of time, come down to verse 29. And Jesus said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, if he walked on the water to go to Jesus, what was he looking at when he was going toward Jesus? He was looking at Jesus. Was he looking where he was supposed to look? Absolutely. He was looking right where he was supposed to look. And as he looked at Jesus, he was going to Jesus. But, verse 30 says, but when he saw. Now, when the scripture says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Now, you know what he saw? You know what he stopped looking at when he began to sink? What was he looking at? When he began to sink, what was he looking at? That's right. He was looking at the waves boisterous. He was looking at the sea. He was looking at the troubles. You know what happens every time I look at the troubles and problems of life? You know what happened? I sink. I go down. When I go down, you know what I better do? Look again. You know what Peter did? He looked around, saw the waves boisterous. He began to sink. But do you know what he did when he began to sink? He looked again. The Word of God says, Lord, Peter said, Lord, save me. And the Word of God says in verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? When did he doubt? When he stopped looking at Jesus. You know when you'll doubt? When you stop looking at Jesus. You'll doubt all kinds of things when you stop looking at Jesus. Did you know that you can even doubt that you're a child of God when you stop looking at Jesus? You'll doubt that God loves you when you stop looking at Jesus. You'll doubt, in fact, the devil will tell you, you can't go back to the Lord. He won't have you. You're too filthy. You're too rotten. You're too corrupt. That's what the devil will tell you. But I want to encourage you to look again and say the same thing Peter did. Lord, save me. Lord, help me. He wasn't talking about saving him from eternal hell to eternal heaven when he said, Lord, save me right here. He needed saving from a condition in his life that was a horrible condition. He needed to be saved just like Jonah needed to be saved when he was in the belly of hell. And he lifted up and looked again and toward the holy temple, and the Lord delivered Jonah. And now in Peter's life, he is again going down into the water, and he says, Lord, save me. And he looked again to Jesus, and the Lord lifted him up. Did the Lord rebuke him for not having as much faith? Yes, the Lord rebuked him, but still the Lord saved him. Was the Lord displeased with Peter? Yes, he was displeased with Peter, but he still had mercy on him, didn't he? We have a more merciful and gracious God than we can ever comprehend. How many times have you looked again? How many times have you had to go back to God? How many times have you strayed away from God? How many times have you rebelled against God? And then you looked again and you called on Him again. And God said, come home, my child, come home. The songwriter says, I've wandered far away from God. Lord, I'm coming home. I want to encourage you today. If you've wandered away from God, I want you to look again toward the holy temple. I want you to look again unto Jesus. I want you to lift your eyes up into the hills from whence cometh your help. Because our Father, He loves us with an everlasting love. God loves you just as much today as the day that He sent His only begotten Son into this world. God's love doesn't vary. His love doesn't change. God loves you. Go with me to 1 Samuel very quickly in your Bibles. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. I just want to mention this, and then we're going to go back to the New Testament. But in 1 Samuel chapter 17, the Word of God tells us about David. I've already mentioned how David messed up and looked at Bathsheba and all the hell that he went through there. But earlier in his life, David had his eyes looking right where they should look. When Goliath came out against the children of Israel, the army of God, when Goliath was mocking the army of God, and David saw what was going on, David was shocked that the army of God would stay in their holes instead of going out and fighting that giant. And he said, is there not a cause? And so David then began to go out and face that giant. But do you know what David did before he went out and faced that giant? You know what he did? He looked back. Now, I know there are ways you're not supposed to be looking back, but there's time here to look back. Here's what David looked back at. He looked back at that time in his life that God blessed him to kill a bear. He looked back at that time in his life when God blessed him to kill a lion. And then looking at that and the power of God that blessed him to do that, that gave him strength. It encouraged him to go forward and fight the giant. And he said, the Lord in 1 Samuel 17, verse 37, 1 Samuel 17, verse 37, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? Do you know how David got the... Do you know what helped David be encouraged and strengthened to go face that giant? Looking at the power of God that had already been manifested in his life before. How many times has God been with you, Brother David? How many times has this church been going through World War III? And we thought, this is it. And then God, as we look back and remember, okay, well, he helped us way back there. Maybe he'll help us again. And he'll help us again. And you know how many times God has helped you and helped me over and over? And it helps you to look back and see how many times God's delivered you. Physically, he's delivered everybody in this building quite a few times. He's delivered you from dying physically. There are many times spiritually that you've been far away from God, and God has delivered you. You looked again toward the holy temple, and the Lord heard your cry. You need to look again at how powerful God is and how many times God has performed miracles. He's helped you financially. He's helped you in family troubles. He's helped you in every problem you've ever been in. God has been there to help you. And you need to thank him for being there and for helping you and for having mercy on you. Look at one other scripture in Mark chapter 8. I want you to think about this man in Mark 8. This was a blind man. He couldn't look, could he, poor old soul? Yes, he could. Did you know one of the people that has had the clearest picture of Jesus, one of the people that has had the clearest vision of Christ was, I started to say Helen Keller, but there's a songwriter. Do you remember her name? Fannie Mae Crosby? You read some of those songs that are in our hymnal that Fannie Mae Crosby wrote. She was blind. She saw the Lord very clearly. I would hate to lose my sight, but I think it would be wonderful if I lost my sight if I kept my eyes on Jesus all the time. Mark chapter 8, there's a blind man. Mark 8, beginning in verse 22, the Word of God says, and he cometh to Bethsaida, that is Jesus cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. You hear what he said? I see men as trees walking. There's a lot of lessons in this lack of clear vision. I see men. Did you know a lot of people, that's how they still see men today. I see men as trees walking. I see men much taller than they really are. I see men with their limbs lifted up to heaven. I see men doing impossible things, trees walking. I see men as trees walking. I'll tell you what the reality is, completely the opposite of that. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Instead of doing impossible things, instead of always lifting up our arms to the Lord, instead of being so tall and mighty and giant and majestic, we're weak and frail creatures. We need God's help every day. So he first says, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. You know what he was going to do now? He's going to look again. First time I saw myself as I was, son, I was good. First time I saw myself as I thought I was the best Christian on the face of the earth. The first time I looked at my, not the first time, but one of the times I looked at myself, I thought I was just, you know, God's more pleased with me than anybody else. I'm like a tree walking. I'm just a giant. You understand what I'm saying? God opened my eyes, and then I saw myself and every man clearly. You see that? When I think I'm better than I am, I need to look again. When I think I'm holy and righteous and feel self-righteous, I need to look again. Because if God will open my eyes every day of my life, even on the best day of my life, I'm not what I need to be. I need to be better. I need to grow. I need to look at Jesus. Because when I look at Jesus in His holiness and His perfection, you know how I see me then? When I look at Jesus and I see Him as He is, you know how I see me? You know how Isaiah said when he said, I see the Lord high and lifted up. You know what he said about himself? Oh, wretched man that I am. If you think you're so great, you don't see Jesus. When you see Jesus, when you look again at Jesus and you look again at yourself, you're going to say, I am not worthy. You're going to say like the Apostle Paul, I am the chief of sinners. I'm not worthy of even the least of His blessings. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. David said, I'm a dog. David said, I'm a worm. Had he thought differently earlier? Yeah. But you know what he did? He looked again at Jesus, and when he looked again at Jesus and looked at himself, he saw himself as he was. I pray that God will help every one of us today to realize I need to look again and again and again. In fact, Hebrews 12 says, I need to ever be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 12, one of the great men of God prayed there, and he said, we don't know what to do. We don't have any strength, but our eyes are upon Thee. Brethren, I'm going to tell you about our nation right now. We've got an election coming up. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, brethren, loved ones, there is no salvation in any political party. There's some parties better than others, and the platform is better, but just about everybody's sold out. Your only hope, the only hope for this nation is if we as a nation will look again to Jesus. So I want to encourage you, look again. If you're far away from Him, look again. Come home. If you need strength today, look again. Look back at all the times He's helped you. And no matter what the situations are, the Bible's full. I didn't cover one-fourth of what was on my heart to cover today. But I want you to know, you need to look again. May God help us, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.
Now, on to the second message for today. The pastor of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, Brother Bill Mullis.
If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Joshua. I would like to read from Joshua chapter 3. I would like to read the first 5 verses. Joshua chapter 3. Now, you'll remember that Moses had already led the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage and had led them to the borders of Canaan 40 years before this. The children of Israel would not go into the land of Canaan, even though God had said that He had given them the land. They were afraid to go in because there were giants in the land. They knew that they would face a lot of obstacles. They knew that they would face a lot of troubles, a lot of afflictions, and a lot of battles. And so they just didn't go into the land of Canaan. They were afraid of the giants that were in the land. They were afraid that they would be killed. They were afraid that they would die if they obeyed God. So they disobeyed God and they died. They perished in the wilderness. And God's people cannot disobey God, walk in willful disobedience, and expect, well, you might expect blessings, but I want you to know we will experience a lot of trouble in our lives when we disobey God. So the children of Israel have already now, all of those that were 20 years of age and older at the time the law was given, they're all dead. And now Joshua is going to take up the mantle of Moses, and he's going to lead the children of Israel. God chose Joshua to lead the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. So they're going to cross the Jordan River now and go into the land of Canaan. And I want you to think about, if you had been that generation, you remember what happened to the previous generation. You remember how afraid they were. Well, things have not changed in the land of Canaan. It's still a land of giants. It's still a land of great walled cities. So this next generation is facing the same tremendous obstacle that the previous generation had faced, but they're beginning to go in now. Reading now from Joshua chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, the Word of God says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it." In other words, the priests were going to be carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and they were supposed to follow the Ark of the Covenant and the priests as they led them through the Jordan River. Verse 4 says, "Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it," that is to the Ark of the Covenant, "that ye may know the way by which ye must go." Now, they're to follow the Ark of the Covenant. He says, if you get too close to the Ark of the Covenant, you can't see which way to go. You back up and you follow the Ark of the Covenant. You stay about 2,000 cubits away so that this vast multitude of people would know exactly which way the Ark of the Covenant went, and they would all follow the Ark of the Covenant and the priest. Now, the Ark of the Covenant, one of the main things it had in it was what? The Ten Commandments. That was one of the main things. So I think that the Ark of the Covenant represents the Word of God and how we as God's people in our lives, that we need to follow the Word of God. We need to always adhere to the Word of God, and the Word of God will lead us into the kingdom of heaven just like it led the children of Israel through all that they had to go through into the land of Canaan. And then he says in the last part of verse 4, let me reread verse 4 in its entirety, "Yet there should be a space between you and it, between you and the Ark of the Covenant, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore." That's the main thought that's on my heart, where he says, "Ye have not passed this way heretofore." They were about to go down a path that they had never been down before. They were about to experience things. They were about to experience all kinds of trials and tribulations and problems that they had never experienced before. But they were also about to experience the great powers and miracles like they had never seen. They were going to see God tear down the walls of Jericho. They were one after another. They were going to see God give them great victories in the land of Canaan. So though they had a lot of trouble to face, they also had a lot of blessings that went along with all of that trouble. They had to walk by faith. They had to trust in the Lord. "He leadeth me" was the song that we sang. "He leadeth me." And that's what the children of Israel could have sang, that song. "He leadeth me, oh blessed thought." Brethren, God was the one that led the children of Israel right on into the land of Canaan. And then one of the statements that Joshua made is, "Ye have not passed this way heretofore." Now, I think that's probably the main reason in Joshua chapter 1, the fact that they had never experienced what they were about to experience. Never experienced as great a trouble, and yet never experienced as great a blessings. He says in Joshua chapter 1, repeatedly God kept telling Joshua, "Be strong and of good courage." You go home and read Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, and you'll see at least 3 times that God told Joshua as he was leading the children of Israel, he says, "Now you be strong and of good courage." Do you know why? Because they were about to go where they had never been before. They were about to face things they had never faced before, and they were going to need to be strong. And Joshua, as their leader, he needed to show himself strong, and he needed to show the great courage that a leader must show to the people of Israel that were following him. Now, there are a lot of things on my heart tonight about "ye have not passed this way heretofore." But one of the things that is very clear to me is that in the United States of America today, we have never been where we are right now. I've been thinking in the past week or two about the great wisdom that God gave our founding fathers. To write the Constitution that we have, to to come up with the three branches of government that they came up with. Isn't it amazing? All the wisdom that God gave them in the founding of our nation. And he set up, I'm saying God set up because God was guiding them in all that they were doing. But they set up checks and balances. So you have these three forms or three branches of government. You have the legislative and the judicial, and you have the executive branches of government. But neither one of those has all power. Each of them are to have checks and balances on the other. So if the executive branch begins to exert power or lead contrary to the Constitution, the other two branches are to rise up and correct that problem. Or if the judicial branch begins to lead contrary to what our nation has always stood for, then the other two branches were to rise up and oppose that and insist that we adhere to the Constitution and that we continue to follow the God who gave us this great nation. All of that was set forth in the founding of our nation. We have never experienced, and I'm not very old. Our nation has been here for over 200 years, but in the past 200 years, there's never been a time in the history of the United States of America that there haven't been checks and balances going on in the government. And today, you might say, well, you know, the judicial branch, they're just ruling us, and they are. One of the main problems is the other branches are not doing anything about it. And one of the big problems we have is that the executive branch and the judicial branch, they're as ungodly as they can be. And so the legislative branch now is following right in their footsteps. And we have no righteous rulers over us today. And when I say that, I say it with a grain of salt because I know there are a few godly people up there. I'm saying by and large, the vast majority of all three branches of government now are full of ungodly people. And we have never passed this way heretofore. However, I would say to you the same thing that God said to Joshua and the same thing that God said to his people here is even though you have never passed this way heretofore, I would say to you to be strong and of good courage. And I would say that you ought not to worry because God will always take care of his people. And so I want to encourage everybody here that even though we can clearly see the handwriting on the wall about the future of America as a nation, we can see that we have turned our backs on God. And the Word of God says that all the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. We all understand what God has said in His Word. We know God does not lie. But we also know that in every age and generation, when God has brought His judgment on a people, He has always had a remnant that He would take care of and bless in the midst of all of those trials and afflictions and tribulations. And so I say to you tonight, if you'll follow Jesus... Jesus will lead you. He will guide you. He will direct you. And you will know exactly what you need to do. And what you always need to do is remember that we ought to obey God rather than men. You must always remember that we have one God that we're going to serve, and we're not going to serve the other gods of this world, and we're not going to bow down to the governments of this world. We're going to follow the one true and living God. Ye have not passed this way heretofore. Now, our nation has faced many problems and many troubles, even from the first time that the settlers came here and began to establish colonies. Our nation has always experienced a lot of trouble. But we've never experienced anything like what we're facing today. And so the main thought I have is, ye have not passed this way heretofore. But I also say, be strong and of good courage. I also say to you, fear not, because our God is still on His throne. I would say to you that you better not trust in the government. You better not bow down to the government. You better follow God and trust in the Lord. And when you do that, God's going to take care of you. In Joshua chapter 3, I want you to notice what happened later in Joshua chapter 3, verse 17. The Word of God says, and the priest, that now what's He already told them to do in the first part of the chapter, He says, now you follow the Ark of the Covenant and the priest, you follow them, and they'll lead you right through the Jordan River, and they'll lead you into the land of Canaan. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 17, the Word of God says, and the priest that bare the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground. ground. Do you remember what happened when they began to walk down in that Jordan River? When the soles of their feet touched that water, the water began to back up. That's an amazing miracle that God did. Ye have not passed this way heretofore. But God is able to perform miracles and stop all kinds of things and do things contrary to nature just to protect his special people. And so he just told those priests to walk in, and the water began to back up. And then those priests stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And the scripture tells us in this chapter that the Jordan was overflowing her banks. It wasn't a low river right now. The Jordan was overflowing her banks, and yet the children of Israel marched through the Jordan River on dry ground. That's impossible, except God is performing miracles. And I want you to know that ye have not passed this way heretofore, but I want you to know that God, who is the God of all governments and the God of all heaven and earth, our God is still in control. And so I would say, fear not. And so they passed through on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. The scripture says, stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Now, I want you to understand that this is not the only time that God would say to his people, you've never passed this way before. In other words, all through the history of the scriptures, God repeatedly has told his people in different generations, he said, now you have never experienced what you're about to experience. You've never been here before, but I'm still going to be with you. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 42. Remember what happened here in Joshua chapter 3, but now look in Isaiah chapter 42. Look, please, at verse 16, at how God is saying very similar words. Why is God telling his people, you have not passed this way heretofore? He's saying you're about to go down a path you've never been down, and you don't know how to go, and you don't know what to do, but I'll be with you, and don't worry. Don't worry. In Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 16, God says, now, you know what we feel like when we are facing something like the children of Israel facing going into the land of Canaan? You know what we feel like? We're blind. Are you going in blindly? Were the children of Israel going in blindly, in a sense? Were they going in blindly? They didn't know what all was ahead. All they knew was that God would be with them. And so the scripture talks about how blind we are. We don't know what to do other than look to God. So he says in Isaiah 42:16 says, and I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. You see the wording there? I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. Do you believe God can lead you in paths that you have never known before? Do you believe that we're facing paths that we've never faced before? Don't worry. Yes. And so he says, I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. Then in Isaiah 43 verse 2, he says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Why? Because the Lord our God was going to protect them. God was going to be with them. Does God in the book of Isaiah make it plain? You're about to go down paths you've never been down before. Did he say the basically same thing in the book of Joshua? Yes. And these are separated by hundreds of years. I just want you to know that God has always been leading his people down paths that they've never been down before. So don't think that we're about to face something that has never been faced before. Our founding fathers, when they began to set up everything they set up in the United States, they walked down paths they had never been down before. You come all the way through the history of the United States of America, every generation has had to walk down paths that they never walked down before. When you look at the American Revolution, when you look at World War I, you look at World War II, you look at the Vietnam War, all of those were paths that we had never been down before. And now we're about to go down another path that we've never been down before in our generation and the generation of our children. But we need to know that God is still on his throne. And God says, now don't worry, I'm going to be with you. When you pass through the waters, I'm going to be with you. They will not overflow you. When you pass through the fire, the flame will not kindle upon you. Do you believe God will do that for you? Do you believe God has the power? Can he do the same thing for you and me that he did for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Can he do the same thing for us that he did for Noah when he destroyed the earth with a flood? Can he do the same thing for you and your family if you're following the Lord? You've never passed this way heretofore. You're about to see things you've never seen before in your lifetime. You may be shocked at what you see, but you will see the Lord if you'll lift up your eyes unto the hills, and you'll see the Lord as your deliverer, and you'll see the Lord as your strength. You'll see the Lord will take care of you. God called Abraham. Do you remember what God said to Abraham? I want you to just listen. You don't have to turn there because we're going to come right back to the Old Testament. But in Hebrews chapter 11, listen. By faith, Abraham, you know what it took for Joshua? I know he said, be strong and of good courage. But what did it take? It took faith for Joshua to do that. It took trust in the Lord. Some of you that were here 20, 30 years ago, remember that God gave me a definition of the word trust. T-R-U-S-T. Trust. It's total rest under sovereignty thinking. In other words, when you can be completely calm in your soul because you are totally resting under the belief that God is sovereign in all that he does, and you're thinking about the sovereignty of God and the power of God, you have peace in your soul. Trust. Trust in the Lord. That's the... If I could just close with one thing, I'm not fixing to close, but if I were, I'm going to say it now because I'm afraid I'll forget it. I want you to remember this. I want you to remember to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? And he shall direct thy what? Paths. You know what we're fixing to walk down? We're fixing to walk down paths we've never been down before. But what will God do? He'll take you. Though you're blind and you're weak and you're frail, God will lead you right down the right path. When Jesus says this in Matthew 16, and we're fixing to go right back. I want you to notice some other scriptures in the book of Psalms. But in Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. And what are the last two words there? And follow me. Brethren, if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to go down paths you've never been down before. Jesus' entire life was walking down paths he had never been down before. And so if you're going to follow Jesus in this life, today you're going to walk down paths you've never been down before. And next week and next month and as long as you live on this earth, you will be walking down paths you've never walked down before. Because as you follow Jesus, he's going to lead you in paths that you've never realized that you would be able to walk down those paths before. His grace is sufficient. You can walk down those paths. You can inhabit Canaan land. You can obey God when he says, now follow me, follow me, follow me. Trust in me. Now, let's go back to the book of Psalms very quickly in closing. Go back to Psalm. I first want to look at Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11. Now remember, whenever we're talking about going down all these paths, and the scripture says in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 4, ye have not passed this way heretofore. You're going to have to, and I'm going to have to, pass down paths that we've never been down before. Before I die, now I've been down a lot of paths, and you've been down a lot of paths in your lifetime. But you're going to have to go down some more paths that you've never been down before. And if you don't have confidence in God, if you're not strong and of good courage, you won't follow God down those paths. You're going to run and go the other way, just like the children of Israel did when Moses was leading them. But you better follow like Joshua did. You better follow right on into the land of Canaan, trusting in the Lord. Do what's right. Follow God's word. Thy word, David says in Psalm 119, or the psalmist says in 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. And a light unto my what? Path. What are we talking about? Talking about going down paths we've never been down before. How are you going to walk down those paths? God's word will direct you right down the right path all the way. Now, Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11, the word of God says, thou wilt show me the path of life. Isn't that beautiful? God's going to show you the path of life. Now, Is it going to be hard to walk down that path of life? Indeed it is. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way. That's what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. He's talking about the path of life. And the path of life is a straight and a narrow way. But it leads unto life. And then there's a broad way, and many there be that go in thereat, and few walk that straight and narrow way. Few walk that path of life. Few are willing to do what God told the children of Israel back there in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 4. Few are willing to follow God's way. God's way, brethren, is going to always be contrary to your way and my way. His ways are higher than our ways, than the heavens are above the earth. His ways are perfect. His ways are right. He has wisdom. He has perfect wisdom. And sometimes you're going to have to do what God says, and you're not going to understand why it has to be that way. Just do what God's word says. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Do you have that confidence tonight? Do you have the confidence that you can say and write down, God, you are going to show me the path of life? That's what God's doing tonight, brethren. He's showing us the path of life. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Did you know that's all you have to be full of joy? Is just to be in the presence of the Lord. It's not gold and silver. It's not anything else in this world. The only way you're going to be full of joy is if you're in the presence of the Lord. And I'm not talking about dying and going to be in his presence. I'm talking about being in his presence right now. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And the only way you're going to be in his presence is if you walk down that path of life. And then he says, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now, let's close by turning to Psalm 23, about four pages past where we're looking. Psalm 23, the Lord is my what? You know what a shepherd does? Among other things, and he does a lot of different things, but one of the main things our shepherd does is he leads. The Lord is my shepherd. Was the Lord the shepherd of Joshua and the children of Israel back there when they began to cross that Jordan River? Was he their shepherd when they went into the land of Canaan? The Lord was their shepherd. Was the Lord the shepherd of John the Baptist when he began to preach the Word of God? Was the Lord his shepherd when he went before that king and told Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife? Was the Lord his shepherd? Did God lead him down that path? When Paul went through all that he went through, and you read about his sufferings, they were horrible. But you read about his blessings, they were wonderful. And Paul said, I reckon that the sufferings of this world are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. Peter said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. It's going to come, but God will be with you. The Lord is my shepherd. I heard a little girl on YouTube one day and said, the Lord is my shepherd. And I don't think we ought to alter the word of God. It's not what I'm saying, but she said, the Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. That doesn't contradict. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If I've got the Lord as my shepherd and I'm following the shepherd, he's going to lead me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Is he going to lead us in the path of life? Absolutely. Is he going to make crooked things straight? Yes. Is he going to make darkness light? Yes. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Is that a dangerous, fearful, frightening thing to walk through the valley of the shadow of death? He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then I just don't know how anybody can make it in this world without our shepherd, without the Lord. And I don't know how I can ever draw back when I have such a wonderful Savior and a wonderful shepherd. I've got somebody that's leading me and guiding me and upholding me. And so I want to say to all of you tonight that even though you've never passed down the path we're fixing to go down, I would say to you, be strong and of good courage, because God is still on his throne. And if you'll follow the Lord and be faithful to God, God will take care of you. May God help us, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.
You have been listening to the Trumpet of Truth, a broadcast ministry of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church. Find us on your radio Sunday mornings at 9 and Sunday evenings at 5 on 91.9 FM, WASW, American Family Radio. Lord willing, join us next Sunday. And until then, let's blow the trumpet in Zion. We now rejoin American Family Radio.